whatever, they go to this village where there's like this epidemic of like young women like falling mysteriously ill, and she meets this woman named Carmilla who becomes completely enthralled with her, like holding her, kissing her, and being like, oh, I can never live without you and stuff. But slowly the main character, I think her name is Lara, Cat's Eye shout out, anyways, Lara begins to get sick, and then the men in the village, they find out that Carmilla is actually a vampire and she's been like feeding on these young women. And for Sapphix, I guess, like, our version of like the beautiful monster romance kind of is Carmilla, even though Carmilla is explicitly like, she's not a good character. Like, she's like, she's
feeding on women.
Yeah, she's like feeding on people. She's like targeting specifically like beautiful young women and eating them. But then also, like, there is kind of this reclamation that people have, because people are also like, they really like the idea maybe of like, of a beautiful romance in which two people are like, they're like achingly in love with each other. Like, if you read excerpts of Carmilla, the novel, Carmilla's like literally like holding Lara's face like cheek to cheek and being like, I cannot live without you, like I will die if I do not have you and stuff like that. Not that, okay, maybe I should say, like, also, not that there's anything wrong, in my opinion, not that there's anything wrong with maybe Twilight, only literarily. But, like, I don't know, I feel like from, to some extent, like, the monster romances, I think, can be interpreted differently from different people, mm-hmm. I guess, like, based on their lived experiences. But then, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't. There is obviously like this predatory factor in Carmilla that mm-hmm. like Sheridan Le Fanu is harping on. Like, Carmilla is a predator essentially. I don't know. What is it with us that we find that so sexy?
I mean,
not for real, obviously, but like the concept of like a monster.
Like a monster being obsessed with you, or like just a monster showing interest in you.
We can stew on that, I think. Let's listen to some music. Well, Sam and I will listen to some music. Brianne will sit in silence.
I hear some of it.
You hear it? Why?
I don't know. I mute myself, I swear. And then, like, it filters in sometimes.
Can you hear Sam and me talking?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think it's because it's on the same computer.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. We'll figure it out. But we'll listen to some music for now. Here is a suggestion from Sam. This is called Monster by You Say Party. And they are actually VanCon. Exciting. Enjoy.
adventure is coming. FunDrive 2025 is just around the corner. Your support is important so we can continue to rise higher and reach further to bring you the local and community radio that you love.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Sam.
And I'm Brianne.
And we've been talking about monster romances. The conversation has really gotten out of hand at this point. We are not following our agenda, but that's okay. That is what happens when you put three beautiful, young, spry women into a room.
I'm not in the room, but... Okay.
The metaphorical. We can't be out here talking about books and literature, and you can't follow up on a metaphor, Brianne. Please, you were in AP English, weren't you?
No.
What? You weren't?
No.
You were in honors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did we have AP English?
I think we did with I don't remember his name, but I think we did.
I'm pretty sure my grade 12 English teacher was the guy that had died.
Okay, well, okay. Let's hard pivot. Same. Let us hard
pivot. I don't think it was AP.
No. I don't think so. Yeah. What were we talking about? We were talking about vampires.
Monsters.
We were talking about monsters. We're talking about why date a monster? Loving monsters. Monsters... in romance, I guess, which have become more popular in the past couple of years.
Or we also finished off of, would you want a monster to pursue you, like in Carmilla? Maybe intensity, but...
Right. Well, I think it's the fantasy, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Thoughts, you know, like, let's say we got two camps here, okay? Let's say, in the hypothetical, that it is, like, we are in our world right now, and then there happens to be a monster who's, like, just, like, in love with you. And then the other, we'll talk about the other hypothetical later. Okay.
Okay.
We're kind of following here, in some regard and respect. Would you date a monster? Maybe imagine first, like, what kind of monster? Does this monster check all your boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Brianne, yeah. You like, mentioned one earlier before we started recording.
Chernabog
from Bald Mountain.
Yeah.
From Fantasia,
one of my favorite movies, yeah.
What is...
Chernabog's pretty great. He can raise the dead. He's pretty ripped. He's got some amazing nails. He can fly because he's got wings. Yeah.
Okay.
Tall, dark, and handsome, right?
Do you know anything about his, like, personality?
He doesn't speak in the movie, so...
we love a quiet man.
That ticks another box, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize you were in love with him?
Well, I'm going to tell you. When I was first watching that movie as a child, not when the movie came out, because the movie's from like 1940, but when I was watching it as a child, that segment of the movie scared me, and I would put a blanket over my head and just not watch it. But maybe when I was like a middle schooler, like a preteen, I was like, okay, I can watch it, it's fine. And I think at that point I was like, okay, I can appreciate the aesthetic that's going on here.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that. I hear where you're coming from. It's like there was like a an actual kind of like development there. You know, it's kind of like an enemies to lovers to some regard. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is my favorite trope. So.
Oh, yes.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of, like, I think, like, a lot of monster romances, I just assume, might have to do with, like, enemies to lovers, though. Sometimes. Not in all cases. I mean, again, Shape of Water, but.
Hmm.
I don't know. How about you, Sam? Which monster would you date?
A werewolf.
Okay. Discuss.
Do you have a specific one in mind, or you just mean the generic
werewolf
man?
Like,
okay,
like, I love a Scott from Monster Prom.
Okay.
Yes.
He's a one of a kind himbo, just a big goofball, like total golden retriever, but also heart of gold. You know, werewolves, they're like dogs. They're very loyal.
Okay, yeah.
And cuddly.
But what if it was like... But what if it wasn't like dog energy werewolf? It was like lone wolf energy werewolf. No, you kind of like that
I
too,
do.
Actually.
I do. Hate everyone else but me, you know?
Well, is that the vibe? That's just basically it. You're going with these canine men.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, right. Maybe like, I'm not going to say that word because...
No, yeah, please keep it like radio friendly.
It is radio friendly, but like, I'm not going to get into it. Never mind. I'll tell you later. Not on air.
Okay.
Well, I'll write exclusive content, I guess, exclusively for our group chat and friend circle. Mm. You wish you were as cool as us.
How about you, Leslie? What monster?
I feel like, technically, I don't know. Because, like, I think I'm just, like, too logistically minded. Like, I was thinking, oh, maybe vampires, because Carmilla makes sense. You know, like, I like the trope of, like, somebody being, like, intensely yearning for me.
Mm-hmm.
But... vampires are also dead. Like, what if she looks beautiful, but she, like, you know, she smells like death, right? I'm afraid.
Okay.
A lot of I don't really know. One of my favorite monsters of all time is the Mananangal. She's an Aswang, which is like a kind of like ghosts, demons, and spirits in Filipino folklore. And she's like totally unhinged. She's like a woman who in the daytime just like looks like a regular woman, but then like at nighttime she like splits her body by the torso essentially, and she leaves her legs, I don't know, hanging out in like the forest, and like the top part of her body just like flies around looking to eat things and like people typically. But I'm, again, the macabre of it, like, I'm so squeamish. I don't know that we could ever be together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would appreciate, you know, daytime, hey, this is my girlfriend. Nighttime, we can never go on a nighttime date, you know? Mm-hmm. It would freak me out too much.
Live separately and everything, yeah.
Yeah, well, she does live separately.
Well, she really does, from parts of her body, you know?
Yeah, so it's hard for me to figure it out, you know? I think also... Why are you giggling? Something came to you.
No, it's fine.
Okay, never mind then. But
I was sorry.
I was just
thinking, like, where do you think that backstory came from?
Oh, there's this actually. Oh my god. Okay, I'm not gonna get fully into it, but there is this series on like the YouTube channels for PBS, on PBS Storied, And the series is called Monstrum. I love it so much because it's all about like monsters from like different parts of the world. And in it, the host, Dr. Emily Zarka, actually talks about the origins of the Manananggal. And I will link that story on the archived episode of this show, in the show notes. But it's a fascinating time.
If I listen to it and watch it, will I have nightmares?
If you listen to it and watch it, will you have nightmares?
Yeah. Like the video about the history.
I mean, it is, again, it is a woman who's like detaching the top part of her torso.
And eating people.
I think very specifically, I don't actually 100% remember. I think babies.
Yeah, last time you told me it was like fetuses, like still in the pregnant woman's body. I'm sorry.
I don't remember. Honestly, I might have like pulled that out from like different monster lore and accidentally got it mixed up. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Brianne, you look horrified.
This just sounds like a 9 a.m. watch for me. I don't do scary stuff. So, unless it's true crime.
But, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the other thing that I wanted to touch on today is like, personally, maybe I would feel more comfortable dating, like, a monster than, you know, a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, 100%, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't the Manananggal a serial killer?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so in some ways, but, like, she's also, like, a fantasy, right? She doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, okay, I get what you mean.
In my opinion, it would be, like, for me, it would be more horrifying to find out that the person who I'm in love with maybe has like committed crimes against humanity. Maybe she's like a freaking genocider or something, mm-hmm. You know? That's horrible, right? But somehow I think it comes back kind of to like the fantasy of it all for like why monsters can feel sometimes desirable in fiction. When it's interpreted by like certain writers and certain people. Because elements of the monster character are actually very human. And a lot of the times they're supposed to speak to a very core part of who we are as people. I mean, the genre of horror in general is supposed to address, you know, fears and stuff like that. And oftentimes through the allegory or literary devices of monsters. But they're also talking about, a lot of times, real social issues. And what people are afraid of, right? So, I don't know. You two are the people who read the romances here.
Well, I remember reading something that someone online had suggested that, like, the reason you like vampire stories is because you want to feel needed, and a vampire, like, needs you usually to feed on you. So it's like you want to feel needed, so you like that story because you're like, well, I'm needed by my partner or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Interesting take.
Life or death situation, literally. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about other monsters? What did it say? Do you remember?
I don't know. I feel like there's something about Frankenstein's monster, like, I don't know. If you could do something about like, oh, the sum, you're more than the sum of your parts, or something like that. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Frankenstein's monster is really classically like the story of the ostracized, so
mm-hmm.
and loneliness.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the other ones.
Okay.
Who else is there?
A whole bunch. I'm just gonna plug Monster High in, and they had a child of all the popular monsters, and it was like 50 of them, I swear to God.
What do you mean a child of all of the monsters?
The main character, Frankie, she's the daughter of Frankenstein.
Okay.
Draculaura is the kid of Dracula.
Oh, like a reboot series featuring their children.
Yes. And then there's like a Gorgon, a child of the mummy, a child of the abominable snowman.
Yep.
I
remembered something, sorry.
Go for it, yeah.
Well, you're talking about children of, like, famous classic monsters. There's also, like, a Scooby-Doo movie where Shaggy and Scooby-Doo go to ghoul school. It was like a girls' private school, but it's all children, all daughters of the classic monsters.
Oh, okay.
So there's
cool.
like a mummy and a Frankenstein and a Dracula and a ghost and a wolf man, wolf girl. Yeah, that was what it reminded me of.
That is adorable. That's
yeah,
so
it
cute.
Is. I like watch it every year.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
What have we got mm-hmm. going on the final parts of our agenda today? Let me see.
What monsters are we?
Oh, yeah. What monsters do we think we are?
We could all, like, take an online quiz.
I don't think we can. We have time to do that right
Never
now.
Never mind, then.
Go off your instincts.
My vibes?
Yeah.
Should we categorize each other or ourselves?
Self-identify. Maybe okay. quicker. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Someone I'm some kind of bog witch, personally, because I always like to use the phrase, I'm getting bogged down. Yeah, you know, and I enjoy going to a bog. I think they're so cool.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see that for you.
Oh, thank you.
In the best possible way.
How about you, Brianne?
Well, I know lots of people call me vampire just because I'm really pale. And a lot of people make the jokes about, like, oh, you're a redhead, so you have no soul. Which is, like,
right.
something that's usually associated, I think, with vampires. Because you're dead. The undead, something like that. So, I mean, there's that.
All right. Speaking of reclamation, I guess.
Yeah.
Sam, how about you?
I'm feeling like a werewolf right now, only because I really want, like, beef. I'm sorry, that's so random. Okay. I'm hungry.
That's in a song.
I'm hungry?
Hungry like the
werewolf.
Werewolf.
Hungry like the wolf. Werewolves of London. No, that one. He talks okay. about beef, I think, in that song.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. That's so.
Good. Cows.
A man that speaks to my own heart. Cows. Yeah.
I'll send the song later.
Thanks.
Yeah, do it. All right, we are quickly running out of time here on Typically Tuesdays on this very nothing episode of the show. But that was the point, you know? Like, we're going to keep it lighthearted on this final week of October because, it's Halloween very soon. Enjoy your Halloween mm-hmm. if you celebrate.
Stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe out there. Also, you might have caught earlier on the program that Fun Drive is coming up. And that's right, our annual on-air fundraising campaign is going to be happening next week, starting on November 3rd. If you have valued Typically Tuesdays because of any episode that we've done this year that has changed your mind, provoked some interesting thoughts, entertained you, put you onto a new artist, and you want to show support for our fundraising campaign, please get in touch with me and we can sort out pre-pledge information. You can get in touch with me over on Instagram. I'm at Typically Tuesdays, or send me an email, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com, and just write in telling me that you are interested in giving a pre-pledge, and I will write back and get all of your information and all that's needed for that. And thank you so much for tuning in and your continued support of CJSF and, of course, of Typically Tuesdays. We are going to close off the program today. Tune in to more great CJSF programming. I can't recall that there's anything like monster adjacent on our shows. But I can steer you to my friend Sasha's open mic show, which airs every Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 4. It's a really fun time. Sasha has really great taste in music. And she loves sharing that music. So give it a listen. Open mic with Sasha every Tuesday from 3 to 4 here on 90.1 FM CJSF. Not even with a final song, unfortunately. But we're all going to say goodbye to you, and thank you so much for tuning in to the show today.
Bye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
And can you say your names, please?
I'm Sam.
And I'm Brianne.
And I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays. And here's one final track for you today. Also ghost related, kind of, not really. I mean, the album art is, it's Motion Sickness by Phoebe Bridgers here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I've been Leslie, and I will talk to you again very soon.
This is